And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. And also, but when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. In the name of Jesus, amen. Greetings, dear Christians. Today we find ourselves approaching the end of our civil calendar, the end of our liturgical calendar, and the end of this age. And Jesus says to you, do not be alarmed. Let us pray. O Lord, you have laid down your life for us, your sheep. Grant that we who are ransomed by your blood from the bondage to sin, death, and the devil may stand firm on that last day in the confidence of your sacrifice. For you live and reign with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. In our gospel reading this morning, Jesus tells the disciples some rather alarming news. The temple that stands in Jerusalem will be torn down. And guess what? That isn't the end. That's what's so shocking to the disciples. That's what causes them to ask Jesus, what are the signs and when will this take place? Because they think that the destruction of the temple is in fact the end of the world. That's what the disciples think. And Jesus gives us and them profound words of wisdom and hope, especially for the time we find ourselves in and the time that the church has always found herself in and day out, year in and year out, century by century, millennia after millennia. See, there are many ends of the worlds. There are many existential threats that we are warned about every single day. If you look back in history, you don't even have to look very far. Just look in the last 50 to 100 years. And you'll find every decade, at least, has some world-ending event. COVID, 9/11, the nuclear bomb being invented, things like that. You could just keep going over and over and over. Every time people thought the world was about to end. How many times has the world ended in your lifetimes? Consider it. Something a wise man once taught me was that in marketing, you appeal to two base desires: hope of gain and fear of loss. And the people who write the television commercials and the people that write Facebook posts, they know that, and they prey on those two fears and desires, especially the fear. And that's not something new at all. That's something that Satan has been using for millennia. Fear. Not the godly fear of a Christian, but instead the fear of the pagan that sees the world ending is trying to do something about it. It's the fear that threatens to consume the disciples as well as us. The fear of losing that which we have confused to be the kingdom of God. For the Jews and for the disciples, the kingdom of God was the temple. That was God's reign in that place. If the temple was destroyed, well, they couldn't even have their religion. That was what they thought. If the temple was gone, then obviously this is the end of the world. This is the time that God is coming to judge the living and the dead, the resurrection, the final judgment, the whole shebang. When the temple is destroyed, that's the moment. For us, perhaps, it's different things. I bet a big one for many people in our country is our nation itself. The myth of America, whichever one you subscribe to, of course. It's also probably, for us, the application here, wrapped up in what we think the church is or needs. If we think the Church of Jesus Christ is identified with a building or with a political structure, well, when that seems to be at stake, then we perhaps think the end of the world is here. But what does Jesus teach us today? There will be wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes and famines, but the end is not yet. Dear Christians, we do not need to live in fear, because God is the one who is in control of all these things. For the disciples, it was the temple. That was their great concern. And in 70 AD, about 30 years or so after Jesus spoke these words, the Romans entered into Jerusalem and destroyed the temple. And his prophecy was fulfilled. And you can go there today, and there is not one stone upon another. It was completely torn down. That temple, Herod's temple, was destroyed by the Romans, but it was not the kingdom of God that was destroyed that day. Because what do we know, dear Christians? Who is the temple? It's Jesus. Jesus is the temple that was destroyed on Good Friday, the one that was crucified, the one that was lowered into the grave. He is the temple. He is God dwelling with man. Sorry, I thought the switching the battery out would fix that sound. Anyway, continue. Jesus is the temple. And so when the disciples are scared about the building being torn down and equating that with the end of the world, they were wrong. For Christ is our temple. Christ is also our sacrifice. That's why the disciples would be worried about the temple being destroyed. That's why they would identify the temple with the kingdom of God. Because the temple is where the sacrifices took place. It's where there were daily offerings, the morning and evening sacrifices. It's where there were annual sacrifices, such as the Day of Atonement, things like this. It was the place where you went for various events in life, for births, for deaths, for various occasions of illness. The temple was very, very central to the religion of the Old Testament. But what is Jesus? Who is Jesus? He is the temple. He is also the final sacrifice, the one that really stuck. That's the point in our reading from Hebrews, that the priests every day were standing in the temple, offering repeatedly sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. They were required to offer a sacrifice in the morning, a sacrifice in the evening. And that was just kind of your standard sacrifices. They also had to offer sacrifices at all kinds of events in your life. As I mentioned earlier, at the time of a birth, after a time of purification, you had to go to the temple and offer a sacrifice. When you had a skin infection, like leprosy or acne, things like that, you had to go to the temple to have it washed and inspected by the priest. All kinds of things, if you read through Leviticus, all kinds of things required sacrifices. Blood, oil, grain, offered up on the altar, brought to the temple, handled by the priests. That's why Hebrews says that the priest stands daily. The priest is on his feet from the sunrise till the sunset every single day. And what does all of this accomplish? What does all of man's works to stave off death accomplish? Nothing. They offer repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. Who is Jesus? He is our temple, our sacrifice, and our high priest. That's what Hebrews continues in verse 12 by saying, "But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God." waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Christ sat down. That, of course, talks about the glorious work of the glorious work of the ascension. But more importantly, it says that the offerings, the sacrifices, the blood is done with. It has been proven by the temple. There is no work of man that can stave off death, that can cleanse you of your sins. Instead, the sacrifice had to be offered over and over and over and over. And they never made full purification and cleansing. It took the death of Jesus to accomplish that for you, dear Christian. It was not anything that you did, not anything that you merited. Instead, it was the perfect work of Christ that he completed once for all. Once for all, he has offered his own body as a sacrifice for your sins. He gave his blood to make a covering over you so that on the last day, God does not see your sin. But instead, he sees Christ's righteousness. And that, dear Christians, is why we do not need to be afraid. When there are famines and plagues, elections, wars, rumors of wars, and the like. Why? Because finally, on the last day, Christ's perfect and completed work, that is your hope. Because of what he has done, on the last day, when you stand before God, he will declare you innocent and righteous because of what Christ has done for you. And you will be welcomed into his kingdom, which has no end. Jesus Christ is our righteousness, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He is our Passover lamb, whose blood has been shed and covers over us and protects us from the angel of death. He is our God who dwells in our midst. Our fears of not being in control, of not knowing what comes next, that's our fear that our works are not going to be enough. We know, dear Christians, we are not in control. We are not, by our works, able to be justified before God. But he is in control, and his works will justify us on the last day. Let us then, dear Christians, in that confidence, placed in Christ's shed blood and not in our own works, let us then approach this altar. Approach his throne and receive on our tongue the very bread of life that will not perish. Let us drink the elixir of immortality that gives to us the life that has no end because our sins are paid for. In the name of Jesus, amen.